Praise the Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. We give God praise. For our God is so faithful. And we thank Him so much for the care, for the joy that He has done to us. We thank God because of His goodness and His kindness and the moment He has given us to come together as a wonderful family of the Almighty Living God. He is the King, He is the Lord, He is our Master. So we thank Him and we magnify His precious name. And this night, we just want to thank God for the way He has been with us, the way He has been taking care of us, the way He has been covering us, the way He has been so good to us. We praise Him so much and we thank Him. And by that one, we just say, let the name of Jesus Christ be exalted. Let the name of Jesus Christ be glorified. Let the name of Jesus Christ be magnified because He's so faithful. So we give God praise and we thank Him so much. So this night, I would like to come by saying that because the Lord has led us, He led us and shall guide us. And shall we pray together? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we just want to uplift You, we just want to adore You, we just want to worship Your precious name, we just want to magnify the name of Jesus Christ, we just want to say how good You are, we just want to say how magnificent and You are so precious in everything. Our Master and our God, the King of glory, we thank You so much. We magnify and exalt You because You have been taking care of us, You have been taking care of us in all aspects. So we thank You, we bless You, we worship You, we magnify Your name. For that goodness, we give You praise. For that kindness, we magnify You, because You are good all the time. Our Father and our Lord, the King of glory, we want to uplift You. And because of that one, let the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, be magnified and be exalted, that You may see Your faithfulness in all that You are doing with us and all that You plan to do with us. Because without You, Christ, we cannot make it. But in Christ, all things are possible. So thank You so much, dear Lord. Thank You so much for Your care. Thank You so much for Your protection. Thank You so much that the whole week You have been with us, the whole week You have guided us, and now we are finishing the weekend. And we give You praise for that You have been doing. We give You praise for that Your kindness. We give You praise for who You are. And Lord Jesus Christ, we ask You kindly that You may remember us this night, that as we are coming, so that, Lord, we may be able to learn some things from You, that we may know much more. Take authority over the spirit of destruction, spirit of deception, spirit which is called unknown spirits. Father, have mercy, help us over this, that we shall be the children of God that is who are able to learn from You for the glory of the kingdom. We pray and we thank You, and we say, let Your name be exalted in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. So this night, I would like to say, because our God has been so faithful to us, He has led us all the way through, and we have been learning about Jesus' ministry. Now, what are called the remnant overcome at the end of time. So quite a number of things we do see when we are learning about the Christ trained, Christ trained, how He trained His disciple, and that was the first church. So we go back there and learn out of that one, so that at the end of the day, we shall be able to get things right, because we have learned from what already He had taught the disciple. Already He had taught the disciple. So we thank God for that kind of the teaching we are getting about Jesus Christ, that is able to help us in the foundational of the beginning of the year. And I'm thanking God and believing that God shall help us. But now when we were in chapter 9, we arrived in verse 56, which was saying, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. So at the time when people were saying about Elijah, about John the Baptist, whom they were saying, and then Peter said who Jesus was, And then it says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy man, but, you know, men's life, but to save them. So, but the statement says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. So, they didn't know, and they say, you do not know. Yet they thought they knew. So that is one of the area which I came to realize we operate in some of the area thinking that we know, but in reality it is not. So this is the time when they were with James and John and Peter. Remember about that one in that transfiguration and the other things. But now let us go and finish the part which was remaining about verse 57 going up to 62, which he left yesterday. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now, and then Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, let us, before we go on, there is something here which now they say, this is called the cost. The cost of being disciple, or the cost of discipleship. It is not a cheap thing, but it has got its cost in it. And to them, it was like what Jesus was teaching them, the cost about it. Though he didn't speak it direct, but it was costly. So that's why he said, why he was using that word, the fox and the birds and the nest and the fox and the hole to be. He was trying to say, or he was meaning that, if you follow me wherever I go, you ought to know that we don't have a house to sleep. That's what he was saying. So wherever we go, we can sleep under a tent, we can sleep under a tree, we can be anywhere. That's what he was saying. We don't have, but we that's how we are. So that the person who says, well, I will follow you wherever you go, then he should know wherever they go. Mostly they are not going to sleep in the houses, but they will be sleeping outside in the tent, in the caves, and so on and so forth. So that when he comes on, then he will know. So that he will not be able to murmur and saying, you know, where I was staying, I was sleeping in a good house, it was like that. No, no. And you see, that is where the problem lies. And many times when I go in the mission field, I don't just go with people saying, oh, I can go. I also know, is this person able to pay, what you say, the cost of discipleship? What do I mean? You'll get different kind of food there. You might find a different kind of water there. You might find different system of how people are. Or you'll be taken in some houses, you know, like when I went with one of the professor in the mission, and I told, you want to go with me? He said, yes. Then I also tell you how to understand that this and that and that. But I've given you that story, that when we went, they cooked the rice, and the rice they cooked, you just put on your mouth, you just hear the stone. You hear the stone, because those rices, you ought to, you know, check on them and remove some stones from them. But with them, they just cook it that way. So what I told the professor, just swallow it. Just swallow it. Don't bother of grinding it. That's what we do. Then the house we are was so much congested, that those nomadic houses where there's just a small hole, and then they are cooking with a firewood, which is called the cow dung. My God, have mercy. The cow dung. And you know, the cow dung, I would call smoke. When it comes to you, you just find like your tears are just dropping down and your nose is running. Oh, man. But that's where we are. But I told him, if you have to go, this is what you're going to find on your way. Then I told him, then we were taken place to sleep. Then it was the cow skin that put on top of some, you know, sticks put on the ground. So that is the mattress. So I told him, you know what you do? When you find one of your side is tired, you turn on the other way, just turn on the way. Sometimes you can sleep on the back until you reach in the morning. You see now? So
So that's what he had to do, because he decided to go with me. Because with me, I've learned to be contented in all. So it's not a matter, I must get this and that. No, because the Lord has taught me of what is said here. In chapter 9, when we have finished the portion which remaining from verse 57. So this is what it says. So he was saying, if you are to follow me, then there are people who cannot attend that. You say, even if whatever we let it be. But the cost of being a disciple of following Jesus, there is a lot of cost to pay. Then he said, this man will say, let me go and bury my father. Then Jesus said, leave the dead, bury the dead. That's what he said. Which means he said, do not go back. You know, and you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, here comes, you find one of the family, and you are being told not to bother about them. How are you going to make it? So that is where we come to our normal human being. But he was using those illustrations, which are so normal, for them to understand that as they will be doing God's work, they ought to know it is paying a cost of following and doing the work of God. That's what he was laying down to them. So I would like to say, we ought to know that following Jesus to be the servant, it's not that everything is good, it's when you say, I'm following Jesus right now. There are times you'll find things come. But you know the secret, you lack that what you need to have. But if you make a mistake, I've been like this, I've been having money like this, I've been having this and this, then the Lord will say, you are disqualified. I am disqualified. Simple. So it's not it will go the way I want it. It will not go the way I may think about it. But him, he knows. But in all that, he will say, it's costly. That's the point, it's costly. So you need to understand that. So that wherever you go, if you go with the attitude, you know, of you as how you are, and then you take it there, then you know what will come up? You'll see like they're worth nothing. You'll overlook them. Your heart will be like, what are these? Then the end of the day, God say, you are not worth. You are not worth. You are not worth. But you know, I came to learn that we, some of us who come from the background we came from, we have got a problem. Once we start getting another system of life, you find people like they think that's how they were born and how they have been. So they pretend, and as you use the word, they pretend that they have been like this, like that, like that. So they want to see either like others hopeless. I've seen it. But when sometimes I'm looking some of the videos, you'll find some of the white people can go in other native places where people are living in the bush. They're living in the bush. And you find they tap it. And if you don't hear them say, I can't make it. But our fellow ones, if you test there, when they have been having everything, they say, no, they run out very quickly. There is a certain kind of spirit that work with some other grouping. And I said, God have mercy. And it is true. It is true. You know, so even they ought to know who is entering in my house. Okay? They ought to know who is entering in my house. So those are kind of things that have disqualified quite a number of people across the global, okay? Across the global of the things of God. Because of what? When he's been like this, he's expecting all people like that. Even God does not expect people to be that way. Why should we expect like that? And then we expect wherever we go, we get that same treatment we have in our houses. If we don't get them there, then there's a problem, which God has got no any problem. So the Son of God was explaining the cause of discipleship. You know, sometimes when I went into some other places, you know, you just take a small water because maybe they don't have enough water. I just get a small water, put in the towel. I remember I was in a certain area also like nomadic, but they're not nomadic. So when they bring water that I'm going to put a take bath, I just look, the water can just collect it or hold it in my hand, two hands is gone. So I'm asking, how am I going to do my bath? So I have to find a small towel to use just for wiping myself. Then I finish my washing. So, and they will not know that where I come, maybe I might have been having much water. And they will never know. So you use the wisdom. If not so, you can be there, you start frustrating people by the attitude and the talking and the behavior. Then the end of the day, do you know what you do? You kill that mission you go for. That's the secret. You kill it. So that's why when I go to the mission, I tell people, if you don't get yourself right, Just be where you are. Just be where you are. God will bless you. Because I don't want to go in the mission field, then at the end of the day, it brings a very bad picture. Or then you see there's a pretending. Then at the end of the day, the God's work you're doing there does not bring glory of God. So such kind I teach people before I go in the mission with people. But Jesus also was doing in advance. You see, the Son of God, he was doing in advance. And to tell them when he was preparing his disciple. Then verse 61 he said, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Now, remember, like, can we take that statement? It's like Elisha. Elisha told Elijah, let me go and say bye to my people. Then he said, why do you follow me? What have I done to you? Then with him, he went and did the celebration. Then after that, he came. But as he came for good. But such a person say like this, he might say, but on the process, he might come again. Oh, there's something I forgot at home. It could be like that. But now we are seeing different group of people. What did Jesus say to this man in chapter 9, verse 62 of Luke? But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God, which means is not fit for the kingdom of God. I don't know what this person put in translation, but such a person. So once the cows are plowing and then you start going ahead, then you say the person, when you look behind, you cannot. So that's what you say, going back and doing 1, 2, 3, then you say, I can follow. Okay? So you say, that one is not fit. So he gave us different about the death, and then another one of the one who is going to say bye, and then another one whom he was saying that has got what you say, there is no house when they go in the field, they expect they're going to sleep in good places. I've seen many people, when they come around the ministry, they think things are going to be wonderful, great, and all things are high, you know. So I tell them, in the ministry, it's not the way you think, you know. There are a lot of things which you ought to sacrifice yourself so that you may fit in. But if you don't sacrifice, you cannot fit in. So that is the mentality of human being from long time ago. But Jesus said, these three groups, where you don't expect where you're going to sleep good, whereby you'll be able to, you know, go back and bury whoever you're going to bury. You see? So those are some of the tough things. But which means Jesus is saying, be contented once you put your feet on the things of God. Be contented. Don't act as somebody in a high level or a lower level or useless, like the time when he fixed the man who was called who? He was called Gideon. So when Gideon was there, I said, no, even our families, they were not known. We are the poor. We are just the hopeless. God say, you are the one gonna save my people. So many times still we have that kind of commotion. We still have it. And many people are there in such a commotion. So Jesus was just telling them, look here, that is not the way it is. It is costly to follow the disciple, to be a disciple. If some things you like to do as people are doing, you not do them that way. But it needs somebody who have got a heart contented. So what we speak and how we speak can determine for us and for God if we are fit, the way I might say, I want to do God's work. The way I might think, I can do God's work. You will find it cannot fit. So those kind of things are the ones we need to learn, how costly it is. Knowing that even sometimes death can come, are you going to be contented? Or you say, that's the end of the road. Or it could be, you don't have enough. But then are you going to say, I can't serve God if I don't have enough? Or it can be that you have so people you love to be with them and do what you do with them. But now you are barred from them not to have them. What are you going to do? So there are a lot of things which are there. And the Lord, who is a faithful God, he always provides. He always provides. He always gives. I'm trusting that the Almighty Living God, the King of all kings, the wonderful Counselor, has never fail them who follow him. He had never failed them. And he shall not fail them at any time. He shall not fail them at any time. I believe 100% because our God is a faithful God. And I thank him so much because he's a gracious God. So, I would like us to come in chapter 10 now. I would like to ask Sister Terry, you know, there's something I always encourage you. Be there when I still give you to read. Then you just on your toes. Okay? Be there so that we don't start going up and down. But I know when I give you another chapter, another book, that one, I know you ought to look on it. But we come back to Luke chapter 10. That the Lord may help us. So I would like to ask Sister Terry to read for us verse 1 up to verse 4.
Amen. I'll read Luke 1:10-4. Jesus sent out the 72. So after this, the Lord chose another 72 men and sent them out 2 by 2 to go ahead of him to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, there is a large harvest, but few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in his harvest. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse or a beggar's bag or shoes. Don't stop to greet anyone on the road.
Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you so much. Now you see, here the other one, we saw Jesus was sending the 12 disciples. But here now he sent 72, 70 sent out. Now, can you see the number has increased? But now he was sending them out 2 by 2 so that they support one another. They help one another. Either they encourage one another, or one might give a report if there's a problem, like Paul was going out with Barnabas. Remember that very well. And then there's a time he was going out with Silas. There's a time he was going out with Timothy. So there is that kind of a company that they go together. So Jesus gave an example. So that when we see Peter also had to go out with some team or some people, or there's a time they were going with John. It's just what Jesus set down. Okay? That's what was happening. So it's still happening till today. So that when missions go out, it could be as it is here. So these 70 to send them that when they go 2 by 2. And then they will be able to reach different kind of people in every angle. But now as they were going, you know, 2 by 2, before his face into every city and place where himself was about to go. So they go like the people prepare the way. People prepare the way. Maybe in this system we do see, when I used to see either a conference, mostly crusade, you find that before the preacher comes, the singers are there, people giving testimony give testimony, and the worship are there, and they talk and they announce whatever. It's when later the preacher will come and being brought lastly. So, like they prepare the way, so that when the preacher comes, then it will not have a big problem. So that is what they were doing, I believe they were doing, and that's why we do it in crusade like that. Or maybe there's some announcement that are made before, you know, the crusade come or the conference. So they went out as like people who are doing what? Doing the announcement, the preparation that the Lord shall come. So that is still happening till today. Then Jesus said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborer are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, can you see? That is one of the amazing things. Even now, those who are really in the field of God, of the trueness of God, is very few. But we have several who are in the business of making money by having saved people around them. Whether they go in hell, whether they go in whatever, they don't care. But provided they have them in their congregation and they give money. That's what they do. So out of this, I would like to say, very, very clearly for the glory of God, very, very clearly for the honor of God, that we may be able to bring this clear. That is, say, pray. That's what we were saying. Because every place, Jesus could not go. But the whole world, Jesus could not go. And already, the harvest is there. People need the word of God. People need to do this. That's why, do you remember when we read, you know, in chapter 13, verse 1 to 3 or 4, how God, when he had already left his disciples, something was coming, you know, because he knew. And Sister Janet will read for us Exodus Apostle chapter 13, verse 1 to 4. But now,
amen. Are you there?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there was a certain prophet and teacher, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out of the Holy Spirit, they went down to the Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Now you see, even the time the first church in Antioch, also, the Lord was still speaking, because these people are in Jerusalem, and there are people who are to go in other cities. But they could not go. So God has to speak and say, because the work is needed, the laborers are few. But here they just say, Barnabas and Paul. Though they tried, went to several places. Just remember, in Ephesians, Galatians, Corinthians, Romans, Thessalonians, and many other places where they went. The real letter, Ephesians, Galatians, Corinthians, Romans, in all those places they went. And they went and they went and went. So that is what I'm saying. And then if you read, you can find they went in Iconia, Lystra, and all Antioch, wherever they went. So the work of God was big, but now the Lord had to send out the workers. The Lord had to send out the workers during the time when Jesus had gone. But this time, the reason why I'm saying that Jesus did, then the same the church also was doing in when Jesus was gone. So everything Jesus laid down, we could see them working even till today. Then, but he said, pray so that the workers may be found. Now, then he said, go your way. Behold, I send you. Behold, I send you out as a lamb among wolves. Which means there are a lot of destructive things out there. There are several who say they are the high priest, but they are not of what they call themselves for. So when he was speaking this, he was just highlighting them to know how it is going to be. The field is not easy. And if they are not careful, they are going to be finished. But you see, when we carry something here, when we are learning the book of Acts of the Apostle, you could find wherever Paul was going, there was a lot of, you know, rig And who are there are the Jews. It's not that people are pagans. The Jew whom you're expecting are the ones who could have respected. But they were not there respecting. They were making torment and torment and torment all the way through. It was so painful. But what do you do? That's how they were. So he alerted to them in advance. So that when they find they want to beat them, they want to kill them, they have been already told in advance. That is called alertness. If you read about Paul, when Paul got saved, and Ananias was able to lay his hands on him, you shall be my missionary, then you shall undergo a lot of suffering. So he told Paul in advance. So when Paul underwent a lot of suffering, at the end of the day, what had happened? That's how it happened. But he was told in advance. Carry neither money, or bag, knapsack, nor sandals, greet no one at the road. Now, those are specific instructions. To whom were these instructions given? This instruction was given to 72 who are going 2 by 2. Not to greet somebody on the road. And Christ knew why. But you see, when Peter and the others, when Jesus had gone, because this one, Jesus was still with them, but when Jesus had gone, there's that kind of thing that they were not greeting somebody. You don't hear. You don't hear that they were not greeting. No. But the reason why could be because the areas they were going, they were so high level of powers of darkness that they could have greeted somebody and let a thing stand back to them. And remember, I've told you many times where I went with the pastors in the mission and they lay hands on some of the people and their hands paralyzed. I've told you several times. Their hands paralyzed and I ought to pray for them back so that their hands may come whole. But it had happened several times and several times. So, could be Jesus knew the area they are going to send them. They are very high level alert of the powers of darkness. That could pollute them if they greet. Could be. I don't know. But that could be. So, those are some of the things. Then there are people who have taken it like a tradition. With us, we don't greet somebody. We don't greet somebody. But this one, Jesus did it at this time. Not after they are gone, people are going out, they don't greet one another, no. So many times the people will take it and make it like a doctrine. And they remain in that format, not greeting. Not greeting. That's the whole thing. So just think about that. So I would like to say, well, don't get any kind of the bag of money and whatever that will say, don't carry, just go the way we are. Just go the way you are. Then, verse 5, but whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace, now get the point, if the son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Remember, I've told you something several times. And I've realized. Remember, I used to tell you, when I pray for somebody, even the other day I was doing it somewhere around, when I came to New York, and I could pray, and I find the power goes and come back to me. The power goes and come back to me. And it was amazing. And it is. So, because you have got something, but if you cannot get where to land, that's why Jesus said, it will come back to you. You see, that peace will come back to you because there's no peace there. So that is the instruction he was giving them. So in wherever you go, that's how it will be. And that's why you could realize Paul in several places, when he finds the peace is not there, he reforms, he goes in another area. He goes and Jesus did the same. So that is what he was giving them to know. That was about the region, but he was talking in the house. So when the son of the house, or he said the son of peace, that's what he said, is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And you will realize in your life as you live. When you go in different places, different families, many times you'll find your peace go back to you. You'll realize that. Maybe now you might not know, but as God is preparing you, and God is preparing you, you're going to encounter that in the field. People like us have encountered several times, and I will just realize, the peace has come back to me. The peace has come back to me. So, that is what he was, this is what was happening at that time. Because the connection of peace is not there. Connection of peace is not there. And because of that one, Jesus gave instruction of how that to be when you go in other people's houses. And if a son, yes, then the peace will rest there. Then he said verse 7, and remain in the same house when they rest on the person, eating, drinking, such things as they give for. Such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Now, she was saying, how settling, which means, let me use this example. Elijah, when he was in that widow's house, then she was going wherever he's going and coming back there. Elisha with Gehazi, when he was in that family, he was going out here and there, but coming back there. He was going where he's going, but coming back there. So that is what he was explaining. That's what he was explaining. Wherever you enter, that's how it will be. So be there, go do the work we are doing, and eat what you are given. So that is where we are failing. Because many times, many people are choosing. They want this what I can eat, this I cannot eat, this is not for me. This. So sometimes it becomes a problem because some places they might not afford. You see, some places people might not afford. And if they cannot afford, how are you going to help? How are you going to work on it? That's the question. So at the end of the day, it becomes difficult. But I learned something. Wherever you go, I have learned how to eat whatever which is there, because you say they are able to eat what they are worth of their whatever. Because God put them there with a purpose. God will allow them to enter in that house with a purpose, in that community, in that family, and in that area with a reason. So Jesus said that is how it will be for you. So he gave them the instruction how that will work. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Remember what I was saying in advance. Sit there and eat as they set that food before you. People today, so proud, Mr. Choosy Choosy. That's how we are today. But still, I realize this is applicable to me. Who goes in the mission? It's applicable. Oh, people say, don't eat this, don't eat that. I say, just bring what you have. Because we learn the word of God right. But some people, sometimes I can talk, I hear how people say, that one I cannot eat. If I'm given, let it be. I can go somewhere and buy something to eat. But God did not send that you go there buy your own food. People. So that's why he was saying, don't carry anything. Because he knew what it means to those people when they share with you what they share with you, and you share with them the word of God, you share with them. God knows. That is the city. And he continues to say, verse 9, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the street and say, the very dust of your feet, which clung to us, we wipe out against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. That's like a curse, man. That's like a curse. To be tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. That which means that city will be so, that is a curse. You know, there are people who don't believe God curse people. They don't believe. You know why? Because they see how they are. But you know, when I remember since I was born until today, I've seen different kind of grouping of people in different caliber. And then some I've worked with. Like when, just recent other time when I was in East Africa, I visited some area, I did a work. And they was telling me, you know, so-and-so is in the wheelchair. I said, do you mean it? And that's the guy who was pointing finger to Osano because what he had, because of his wealth, and he's in a wheelchair. He said, even as we couldn't believe that guy is in a wheelchair, their wife died. What am I trying to say? Because just what I told you, I learned, God said, I will deal with those who deal with you. It's not my job. With me, that's why I go back and I talk to the people. And I told people, when I was living, I remember very well, I said to the people, if somebody knows that I've done wrong to you, forgive me. I confess. But those who have done wrong, I've forgiven you. I don't have anything to hold anybody for what? That is them. And it's me. So we have the two, you have two lines, or we have two lines. It is me, and there is God, and there's these people. That's how you are. It is you and the other people and God. So God plays part, you play your part, and God plays the part with them. That's all. So you need not to utter anything. That's the only thing. Forgive me if I do you wrong, and I forgive you if you do me wrong. That's the only thing you do. That's the only thing you do. But other things, when they come up, then you know God was doing something. That is what I want you to understand. Never miss, never twist. Because that is the reality. God will do what is he can do. But with us, I learned, forgive, and ask for forgiveness. Simple and clear. But now, can you see, you say Sodom and Gomorrah will be just not great problem. But this city, where they put off their dust, there are people who do not understand that in any community, they don't understand. When curses come, it's when the eyes are open. But before that one, Mr. Top 10, Mr. Top 10. So what do you do? But now I learned something, that we should not be like that. We should not be the top 10, but we should learn how to humble, because we are the tools that God is to use for the kingdom of God. So we should not find ourselves in that category. We should not find ourselves. So that's the point there. We should not find ourselves in that category. But we are the vessel that we are going to the people for, so that we may be able to know how to handle situation when it comes. So if you don't know the scripture right, then we miss the mark. But now we thank God the laid down instruction of some of the things the Son of God was giving these 72 people going for the mission. Going for the mission. And it has got all the blessings and it has got all the instruction. But all the time, I would not always wish for the good, the bad. But what do you do when God says the bad must come? You don't have anything to do because it's the one. So, and that one is the one knows how it comes. Not to you, not to me. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Now, I would like to ask Sister Philly to read for us from verse 13 to verse 16. Verse 13 to verse 16.
Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have replanted long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But if we be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you, and you Capri, will you be lifted high? No, you will go down to the death. He will listen to you. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Amen.
Thank you. Now, here is talking, you see, about these cities, the people who are living inside there. How God, Jesus knew how they were. And these cities, it is because of the people who are there. The city had no problem, but the people who made the city look awkward, out of order, not good, not pleasing to God. So that's what he was saying. And remember, many times when you hear the word, woe to you, you know, like you are cursed, you know? Woe to you, Chorazin, Chorazin, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you. That's to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty work which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. So now, these people in Chorazin and Bethsaida, there are some things which were not right with them. There are some things which they are doing not pleasing unto the Lord. And God did greater things unto them. Remember Bethsaida also, where this person was about 35 years sick, was healed, you know, and there's miracle in that pool of Bethsaida. Don't forget about that one. So there are quite a number of things which God was doing with them. But somehow, they didn't seem to see and change and repent and come to God. But now Jesus said, if it was Tyre and Sidon, these guys would have repented a long time ago. And they would have been crying and crying to God, sitting in ashes and repenting and confessing. But to you, it's nothing. And that's how it is. There are those today, even those, let us say, let us use an example. Because there's a curse upon these cities. How many today, whom God say, woe unto you? This group, that fellowship. Because they have gone to get the power from the kingdom of darkness. That's what I want to say. Woe to them. They don't seem to repent, to confess, and turn away from God. It's just the same. You find people of whom you can. Just get me clear. You get the people of whom you can. Do what? That's an amazing thing to me. You have the people. You are praying with them. But the same people, even if God do to them, they still hold the things of witchcraft. They still go back to the witchcraft. Or you pray for with them. At the same time, they're still having the things of witchcraft, or the things of deception, or cult, or false spirit. Can you imagine? Because they are not seeing themselves to turn away from these things. They don't see it is worthy for them to turn from these things. So it's like the people who are in Choran or in Bethsaida. So even how God can do things, but still they hold it. Now, don't remember the time when we are reading about Jehu. Now, God uplifted him and blessed him. Then he came back and do other things which was not supposed to do, and he didn't repent. That's an amazing thing. With all that, he did great things and wonderful things, but instead of holding himself there, he turned to something else. So at the end of the day, it was so terrible, and it was not a good blessing to him. So that is what, you know, was happening with these people, and it's a sad story to them. Then they say, and you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. Oh, that's terrible. the people. But remember, can you remember many times Jesus was going to Capernaum and miracle and miracle and miracle and miracle? Every time Capernaum, every time Capernaum, every time casting demons, healing people, casting demons, healing people. But now it comes another point here that Capernaum, the pride came in them. That's what I'm realizing. When God was doing miracle in them and being delivered forever, then the spirit of exaltation came into them. And when that spirit came into them, they were seeing others like nothing. You know, they were looking unto them, talking unto them like what nothing. Jesus was watching, but they did not know that Jesus sometimes he perceived in his spirit, without somebody whatever. So he can perceive a lot of things in his spirit. So when he realized that is now how they are, in the, how they exalted themselves, and they are acting like the perfect, holy, wonderful, you know, the people of God in heaven. And that's what he say. You have seen you are in heaven, you are going to brought to ashes. Now, how are we going to handle this? This is just putting me to the point, it is better to remain humble and broken. Not by saying, but let it be in action, even God can say, yes, it is. That's the secret. Yes, it is. But if not, we can speak with the mouth, but practically, we are not. And where there's a, this is what Jesus is talking, there's a lot of arrogance. There's a lot of arrogance. And that's what God, then said, will be brought to hate, which means to death and hate. Okay? He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Now, reject who sent me. Now, can you see that one? Wherever you reject the one of Christ, then I reject Christ. And when I reject Christ, I reject the Father. So if I reject Christ, I reject the Father, then who am I? Whom am I? Then I'm out of myself. And then, I don't know, I might have mentioned that, but this statement, I don't know whether it had happened around you or you might have heard it, but I don't know practically if it had happened to you. Do you remember the statement was said this way, that the man was saying, Jesus, come and visit me. And he was praying, come, and then Jesus said, I will come and visit with you. And then he said, I'm going to come such a day and such an hour, and I will be there. Then what had happened? Very simple. That day, he prepared the house. The king is coming. The savior is coming. Everything perfect. Everything updated. So when he came at that exact time, he had a knock at the door. When he opened the door, he just found a rugged, filthy woman knocking, coming in, seeking help. Then he said, no, you cannot come in because my place is real clean, made for the master. You cannot be here. The woman tried to beg him. No way out. This place has been prepared for the Lord, not for you. Until the Lord comes, it's when I can allow another person. With his human understanding, she didn't know that was Christ. He didn't know. So the woman went back. The man waited. Nothing happened. So the next day asked that I was there waiting for Jesus. Then Jesus, you're a liar. Didn't you see me exactly this time at the door? You remember what you told me? I cannot enter because you saw I was rugged. I was filthy. I'm not worthy for you. What did you do? You chased me away. You blocked me away. So I didn't enter. Now, what was that statement mean? It meant that people have got the ways they put their God to be. There's the way they channel their God. My God must be this way. My God is this way. My God is this way. The way it fits Amen. Their egos. That's how many Christians are today. How their God fits their ego. And they believe that's how it is. He was left with that kind. We have several who will be left like that. I'm assuring you 100%. Many shall be left like that. But what is the good part of it? you and me, we are learning this as a foundation from the beginning of the year, and which is the month of January, so that we may soak these things right in us, so that we may be able to understand things right and do things right with ourselves and also to the other people, which means other people means where we shall be taken to do the work of God, where we shall be taken to go and do or share the word of God, so that we know how this is working for the glory of the kingdom of God. That's the secret there. That's the secret there. So once we understand, then it will be good. So when they reject, they say, when they reject you, because people are seeing, it's Peter, it's Margaret, or it's maybe there is somebody, you know, that's so and so. That's how people take it. Simple like that. But they say, then they reject me. When they reject me, they reject the one who sent me. So can you see God the Father rejected, Christ rejected, the one who is a vessel rejected? So what does that person mean with? Totally nothing. Even how much the person will say, I have this, but already. And let us say this. Let us say this. Let us say this. I would like to ask, okay, let me just quote this. Do you remember when Jesus spoke, when the trumpet shall be blown in chapter 25 and verse 30 following, the sheep on the right, the goat on the left. Then he says, the sheep come and enter the kingdom of God. For when I was angry, when I was naked, I was in the prison, I was in the hospital, I was thirst, and you did me this and that. Then they shall ask, where were you, Lord? We did this to you. Then he says, whatever you are doing to the least of these, my brethren. He said, the least of my brethren. Which means the people who are down, not the people who are worthy in healthy or wealth, whatever. No, the least of these, my brethren. That's a statement Jesus said. The least of my, you are doing to me. Now, that is what it means. That we are the least when we go and you go out and go in other places. God has set the way how it is. And that's what teaching us. And then we are able to know when we go and when they handle you, then you know what to do. And when you know what to do, then that's what to do. So that is the kind which Jesus laid down for his church. And all this taught me a lot. And it helped me in the mission field. It helped me a lot. And it will help us because we are the chosen of the living God. And it was a sad thing when we rejected the Son of God. Doesn't matter whichever allegation you can say. No, let me say it this way. I use a very powerful terminology by saying, doesn't matter which allegation they can put. But now listen to this. What was this man saying? Why did he not allow the woman to come in? Because he was looking that woman and looking his level and his house, okay? And the way he's thinking about his Christ, get me there clear. Looking the way of his Christ, his God is, then looking this woman, the standard of his house prepared, and his standard, you see, this woman is not fit. The woman is not fit. And you say, no, 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 you cannot. Just look like that. So this is, that I said, whichever allegation. So what was the allegation? Seeing this woman is rugged, is poor, is filthy, he had nothing. That's how he was putting that to the woman. That's how he was looking. But he didn't know that is the Christ. So when he rejected Christ and rejected the Father. So what was he coming? Then when he asked, was told, I came there, you rejected me. I was there, you refused me. So at the end of the day, who was the failure? It's not that woman. It's not that woman. The failure is this man. The failure is the man. And the one rejected was the man, because God will never have anything to do with him. And whatever the capacity of God, even the capacity was for God, that is out. That is out. Because already he had rejected Jesus, he had rejected God the Father. And then there's no way out. So these are the things which we need to understand when we go outside rejected. You don't be blaming anybody. God has taught me that I don't blame. All my years in the ministry, I don't blame. I don't, and I will never blame. That's who I am. So, because I've learned from this. So learn you also from this, because you'll be sent here, sent there, sent there. So when you know, you'll not come back and get angry with people and feel bad about it. No, because Christ has laid it for us. So we thank God for that, because the Lord is so faithful. The Lord is so faithful. Now, let us look verse 17. Then the 70 return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now they are giving the report back from apprenticeship. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah. And over all the powers of enemies. All the powers of enemies. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. This is so powerful to me. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, that is the promise the Son of the Living God say. And that stands till today. You know, I saw Satan falling like a lightning from heaven. But behold, which means now it is for you. Now it is for you. I've given you that authority. Trample on serpent of death, scorpion of the demonic, of dragons, and over all powers of enemy. He did not say one, over all powers of the enemy. Hallelujah. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So can you see how you are protected? How you have got the power? How you are to be so highly anointed? So when they bring the report back, even the demons were obeying us. Now, if Jesus sent them and they came back with a report, and their people say, we are reaching people and having crusade and having meetings here and there, so speaking to people, but here you are, and you can't cast out demons to the people you're praying to them. You just want members, you want followers, but you don't want to deal with that. You say, in our group, we don't deal with this, we don't deal with that, we don't deal with that. And Jesus said to them, that's how it will be. To the disciple, the follower, that's how it will be. Then how comes we deny that? And then the question I'm asking, people are busy running left and up here and there. But in those fellowships, they don't have such kind of happening. Where is that God they're worshiping? Where is that God? There's something wrong somewhere. So that's what I would like to encourage, that where God is, when they say we are worshiping a true God, then there must be manifestation. Jesus did not say, so and so is the one given this gift. That group is the one given and others know. No, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. And the Bible says, where we have read several times, you remember very well, that it says, those who believe in my name shall cast out demons, shall speak with the new tongue, shall touch serpent and drink poison, shall not harm them. They shall lay hands upon the sick. So he didn't say, he said, those who believe in my name. So when people say so and so, I don't believe in that. This must be in each and every grouping, people meeting in the name of Jesus. And if these manifestations are not there, the people are there, something is not right with them. And you know the problem you have is what? They say, no, God, you see that. Oh, what on? If others given this gift, not others given this gift. Jesus said to them who believe in him. You know? So instead, people say, we are sorry, we are the one blocking the presence of God. They start arguing. You argue for what? It is because people have not opened themselves to God, so that God have a door through them to enter and do this. So when these people, open themselves, they see things happening in the field. They come back very happy. Even the demons, they have never seen demons cast out. You know, I remember the professor when the father was sick and I was in a mission. Then I told him, I'm going to pray for you and then go and lay your hands on your father in the hospital and pray for him. Then I pray for him. When he went to there, he lay hands and pray, and the father became healed. Then he was happy and he came and said, hey, my father is doing good. My father's well. You know? So the person becomes so much excited when they see what God is doing. That is what he said. They came back when they're happy. That is what is going to happen to us all when we waited upon the Lord. That's what the Lord is going to do. When we trusted, when you believe in him, when you hope in him, when you continue in him, then we shall see the goodness, the faithfulness of the Almighty God. So it is my encouragement to you, my dear beloved of God, that we may hold the Lord right, so that we may be able to see these powers with us. Because it's Christ who say, behold, I give you the authority. Behold, I have given you power. So we are to tap it by faith. Every group must tap it by faith. Every people must tap it by faith. There's no shortcut. You will say, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. Yeah, good. And you hear all people say, I love the Lord. But come in the practical part, it's out. It's out. So what do we do? What should we do? That's what we want to address now. What should we do? Then verse 20 says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirit are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Your names are written in heaven. That is the most important thing. So that's the reason why we don't have time to have pride and feel like we are great. Your name is written there. So that when you go, you'll find, yes, you're the one name is written there because you are being known in heaven, used by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that is the secret there. So you are known there. You are a part of heavenly kingdom. So your names are written there. So that is the most important thing. So the only way we would be able to make it is to remain humble. Just remain humble. To learn how to be humble. To tame ourselves to be humble. Not just speaking, but to be real in our humbleness, in our brokenness. And if we do so, then we shall see the goodness of the Lord. So it is my encouragement to you, wonderful children of God, that may God help us as we continue seeking the Lord, as we continue believing in the Lord, that the King of all kings, the wonderful counselor, would be able this year, with all this, that God may help us. I'm really touched with this about what God, Jesus was speaking about the 72, and then also different cities we talk about, and then how we go outside, what they can give us, and then how they came back rejoicing. Then God, Jesus said, now I've given you this. I've given you this. Shall we be able to come to that position and see in reality, this is what we need. Because we are living in the world pathetic. We need power. We need authority over this kind of demonic in the world today. And if we can't get it, then we're going to miss the mark. If we can't get power, we're going to miss it. It is my encouragement by saying, hold on the Lord. Just look this scripture. Go back and restudy. Go back and check yourself. Go and look at it. You're going to be amazed, wonderful children of God. You're going to be amazed because you're going to see, really, this is me. In this, my period of time, my generation, and this is what I'm being taught, how I should be, and what I will meet in the field. So in that capacity, the Lord help me. But let us not find ourselves there, but let us find other people there, and we shall teach them, and we shall teach them, and shall guide them the way they should be. And some cities, some places are so pathetic, already cast of God is them, but still, as God lead us, he will be the God who shall guide us. I'm thanking God so much, and I give God praise. And may God bless you, wonderful children of God, as you are pursuing this power God has already commanded to go out and to his disciple, his followers, who knows the cost of discipleship. May God bless you. May God be with you. And I'm trusting 100% the Lord shall not leave us. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much of the things you have taught us today. And you are teaching us to have a foundational that the Son of the Living God, we may learn today and may come today and may move today for the glory of the kingdom. Help us. We are human beings with a lot of shortcomings, but in humbleness and adoration, we confess, we repent. May you forgive us. May you forgive us for the glory of the kingdom. May you forgive us for the glory of the kingdom. So that, Son of the Living God, we may see, we may come to realization, we may come to know that in your name, there's greater and mighty things that no one would ever do. In you, there are greater things. Thank you so much, King of Glory, wonderful counselor, that you may guide us, you may lead us in all the aspects that we should have, that we may know you as our Savior. We may know you as our King. We may know you as the Lord of Lords. For everything, you are the only Lord. We thank you so much, and we magnify your precious name. Lord Jesus Christ, may you cover us and cover your children. And Father, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the understanding and the wisdom that come through the Word of God, that Christ may see you, that Christ may be able to put us right according to what you are teaching us, that the things that you have been teaching us when you started this book of Luke, that God, many times, we may go back and revise and allow your Holy Spirit that may teach us and remind us in the areas we should, so that we don't take it the way that it could fit us, but the way it needs to fit us. I thank you so much and uplift you as you cover your children and meet their needs and meet their families. And God, as we are this month, we are trusting the month of January shall be of a greater learning, lessons and lessons for the glory of the kingdom. Thank you so much, Son of a Living God. Thank you for your children here and far. Be with them. And this week we are starting, we are praying in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that Jehovah Jireh, shall you bless us, shall you cover us as we go out and come in, whenever your children doing the work and businesses or where they are doing schooling. My Father, may you be with them as you take care of the needs of their family. I give you praise and I thank you so much that God shall you speak to your people, that they will be able to come out, that God, and give out for all that we need for their ministry. We give you and we thank you so much. Because worthy is the Lamb. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, the year is going, the thanksgiving and everything we give to you, because worthy is the Lamb. And the people that may come up with all their support, worthy to give you glory. Let the name of the Lord be exalted. Let the name of Jesus be glorified in all ways. In Jesus' name, some need the school fees for their children in the college and high school and in different dimensions. Lord, shall you open all the doors and the windows that all these needs shall be met for the glory of the kingdom. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. Dear Lord, I magnify you. I exalt you. I praise you. I honor you because you are a wonderful God, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you. It's a wonderful time. We pray.